We just observed God's spring holy days of Days of Unleavened Bread, which once again happened to coincide with the complete contrast of a pagan holiday of Easter. And that usually happens more and often during these times. And the next commanded God holy day is coming up is the Feast of Pentecost, about a month away. We then prepare for God's fall holy days, which all picture and symbolize a future time of perfection, which is all part of God's master plan, where there will be no more sorrow and no more pain, but pure, unimaginable joy, because it's something that this world has not experienced before, nor does it experience it now. Yet, when we observe these holy days, we have a glimpse of what it will be like when we observe them, spending time with those of like mind that all have the same understanding from God to know what these days picture and what this is all about. And as we say in our statement of beliefs, it is a potential of man to become born again immortal and divine members of the God family, that God is in the process of reproducing himself through man, and that those who have received God's Holy Spirit are already the children of God, however, are not glorified yet. If we see Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, it talks about that further. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, better yet, sonship, the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, should be better translated as, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, that is the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together, something that we are eagerly waiting for. And then further in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, we read this, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, because we still live in flesh and blood. We have not been changed yet to spirit beings. We shall be like him, be like Jesus Christ. For we shall see him as he is, because he's going to come back in full power and glory to establish the kingdom then here on this earth. In verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is the ultimate step for us. And being human is not easy. We fall often. But do we stay down? When we learn to ride a bike, did we not fall down? And what happens when we fall down? Did we quit? This is something I remember very vividly when I first learned to ride a bike. I didn't know how to use brakes. So you can imagine what happened. It was very painful. But that did not discourage me from getting back on a bike again. And even after we have learned to ride a bike, we still fall down. We may do some daring things or whatever it may be. We still crash. I've had that experience as well. Doesn't matter what experience we have riding a bike, we still may fall down. But the key is to get back up. By reaching out to God for help in prayer, when we fall, this is what we do. We also reach out to others, our fellow members in the church, because nobody is alone. And we all go through problems. We are not perfect. We don't let our lack of perfection discourage us to the point of giving up. And more importantly, keeping us from taking the Passover. There are some who struggle with this, thinking that they have to be perfect while still struggling with sin, viewing themselves as unworthy, where they are discouraged to the point where they don't even take the Passover. That, however, is more of a reason why you should take the Passover, because refusing to do it is a grave mistake, and you will have no part in Christ. Yes, we have just taken the Passover, but we will take it again. So if we struggle in the meantime, think about that. We go through moments of failure, as I explained in previous messages. Life presents challenges. And I'm not here to talk about the seasons of fall and spring, but I'm talking about the theme of falling down before you spring up. And it reminds us of that. But it also highlights the importance of perseverance, trust in God, and the ability to rise again from difficult circumstances. The Bible references to this theme quite often, not only emphasizing perseverance, but also resilience and the importance of getting back up after adversity. Notice Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. See, notice it's a righteous man. It's a normal thing. They fall down over and over again, but we don't stay down. Now, the wicked, who don't know any better, who aren't righteous, don't have the understanding, they will fall and they will stay down. They'll be overthrown. There's still a difference there. See, this verse here directly addresses the idea of falling and rising. It suggests that those who are righteous or those who trust God will face setbacks, but will have a strength to get back up and persevere. The wicked, they don't have God working with them, and they don't look to God for help, and God will not help them. Proverbs 25 and verse 26. A righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. This verse here uses the imagery of a polluted spring to illustrate the unsuitability of a righteous person giving way to the influence of the wicked. It implies that even in difficult times, the righteous should maintain their integrity and not give in to negative influences. Also, a very common thing that we go through as human beings. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, verse 18. Here's how we spring back up after we fall. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. That is something that's very challenging. Forgetting about what happened in the past. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This shows God's ability to create something new, even in the midst of trials. It speaks of God making a way in the wilderness, suggesting that even when things seem impossible, God can provide a path forward. God is limitless in what he can do. Notice chapter 45, verse 8. Isaiah 45, verses 8 to 10. Rain down, you heavens, from above. What does rain do? It falls down. And let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Verse 9, woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? And also verse 12. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hand, stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts I have commanded. I have raised them up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, nor for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, God created everything. And since he created all and directs our paths, all our paths, can he not help us in every possible way? When we need help, when we struggle, when we are discouraged, when we feel alone, when we sin? Notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Again, let's forget about the things in the past. And also the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Which direction do we go when we run a race? Normally you go forward, right? You don't see a lot of people racing backwards, but racing forward is the key. Always moving forward. This passage emphasizes the importance of overcoming obstacles and pressing toward in faith. Pressing forward in faith. We keep running, we do not stop. We fall, we spring back up. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. A promise for us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is a promise that those who wait on God will renew their strength, symbolizing the restoration and resilience that come from trusting in God. Even when we are exhausted or depressed or discouraged, God will provide the strength to persevere. And there are many examples in the Bible where an experience of falling down before ultimately rising again, demonstrated themes of repentance and redemption and God's grace. Examples include Job, a righteous man who suffered greatly, who lost his family, lost his health, lost his wealth. Yet he did not curse God, but instead continued to praise him. Especially after he realized what his problem was, when God revealed his omnipotence to him, that nothing was impossible for Job. It was quite a humbling experience for Job, and he was sorry for his lack of understanding. Yes, he was a righteous man. He had much knowledge, but in that one thing, he really struggled. But even in the face of adversity, one can remain faithful and ultimately rise from the depths of suffering. Saul, who initially was antagonistic to God and a persecutor of Christians, experienced a dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. He also, like Job, was humbled, and he became Paul, a leading apostle who played a crucial role in spreading the gospel. This highlights the power of God's grace to transform even the most hardened hearts. David, who sinned often, realized he had weaknesses, and he had asked God repeatedly for forgiveness and strength. He also understood that nothing was impossible for God. And that right there gave David great encouragement to not quit. Notice Psalm 145 in verse 14. Psalm 145, beginning in verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every little living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Verse 20, the Lord persevere all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. That is a future time that we can all wait for, that we are all waiting for. It is examples like these that should encourage us when we go through moments of weakness. We are never alone. We have each other. We always have help. And we are in God's hands. Let's not forget that.